Blog Talk Radio.
Comes Blessed Souls, the greatest time ever, the happiest time ever, which is the time of love, universal redemption, and also the time now for the higher inner frequency soul class, class number 393, Whose Presence is Divine, part 10. Today's program broadcasting live from Turtle Island, aka the USA, unifying souls. Actually, program content will concern teachings about Shekhinah, Divine Presence, inspired by a Hasidic discourse delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Hebrew lunar calendar day, 5,711 years blazing and grazing into creation, corresponding to the solar calendar of 1951. The call-in number is 1-347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And joining me live on the air is Rambam student, teacher, and disseminator for the teaching of Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon, Dennis Ryan. Good morning, Dennis.
Boker Tov, Don.
Well, one thing we can be sure of, Dennis, is aside from Almighty God, nothing is for sure. I had programmed the program. We had some computer problems. I have to use an on-screen keyboard, which is not the biggest problem in the world. Then my telephone disconnected. And then, lo and behold, before I started the program, I had to help my wife of valor bring some cases of chicken into the house. So we had a couple of delays, and we have about 22 minutes left, but we remain undaunted, we remain fresh, we remain happy and positive, and we remain also enjoy that we have also joining us live from Texas, Doris. Good morning, Doris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, I'm just going to leave
today.
Okay, I'm going to put you back. I'm going to put you back on. Hold on, please. Okay, with that being said, we have about 21 minutes, and with that being said, we might as well get on with the show. Here we go, blessed souls. We're, again, extracting from a teaching from 1951 from a Hasidic discourse from the Lubavitcher Rebbe within the context of our current generation is, in fact, enumerated, according to this Hasidic discourse, as the seventh generation from a first generation, and that first generation is demarked. A demarcation is made in the history of the nation of Israel, going back to that first generation, which covered the latter half of the 18th century and early part of the 19th century, as it related to a certain descendant from King David and King Solomon, from the Israelite tribe of Judah, namely Harav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, also known as the Alter Rebbe, the Bala Tanya, the writer of a seminal work, which was a book dedicated towards sensitizing the human mind and the human heart to the human soul, as the human soul is directly configured to the divine image, and how can we serve the Creator in a way that we can sense the matter is close to us. The matter is not a matter in the upper realms of heaven. We are not here to engage in ivory tower philosophy, but rather how to sensitize human consciousness to ideas which should become, matter of fact, part of our day-to-day lives, even in our most mundane of activities. Now, since we possess this merit, our entire generation, we at some level of recognition, should be able to hopefully tune into a quality of humility due to this destiny which was revealed to us, which is in fact will not be a matter of our free choice or our elevated will and desire and quality of divine service. Just as, say, a child born today has nothing to say about the age of technology, the age of information, until he or she develops the sensitivity to be able to communicate to not only to themselves on a higher cognitive level, which is commensurate to their level of development, the age of 2 and 3 and 4 onward, and then be able to communicate with their family, or his or her family, and their playmates, and eventually school and greater society, until they become a mature adult and realize they were born into a situation where they can access high levels of technology, where a thought which could not be shared, say, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, except for the vehicle of a written letter, now can freely be shared with one another, and if not thousands, if not millions of people, through touching a small plastic and metal device, which is considered to be a piece of wireless technology to spread a message of consciousness about of Creator. Yet that child in this allegory, or we ourselves who were born into this destiny of high technology, this quality of destiny, also something not from the perspective of high technology or wireless technology, but this quality of destiny also empowered the mighty prophet Moses or Moshe, that the eternal Torah, divine instruction, should be given to him and through him as a means of transmission throughout the ages, primarily at first orally and then down written on parchment and then eventually copied in books. So we see that people are born into a destiny, but they make the most of their destiny and actually can embellish it through his or her free choice. And we humbly suggest to those listening out there right now, or eventually will hear this archive version, which is another miracle of this modern technological age, that the ideas that I'm sharing, and in Bezer Hashem we're going to go in a moment or two to Dennis for his feedback on these matters, that we can actually continue the conversation through the recording of our voices, that the Word of God, the teachings of the Creator, the instructions which are relevant to us in terms of how to love the Creator even more, how to fear Him even more, and how to bring that down to the level of practical human conduct in a way that we can make it a more pleasant and peaceful world. Dennis, I'm sure you have what to chew. You've chewed upon what these few words I've mentioned, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say in terms of what I've just shared with our blessed audience.
Well, you began with the subject on sensitization, and that is, to me, the waking up of the human spirit. We must be aware where we are, why we are here, and what we're supposed to do. Now, no, you don't get a letter in the mail informing you about all of this. It is hoped that your parents will explain things to you, and you'll start reading and getting some first blush ideas about Scripture. However, even in the technological age, no matter what you're using, your spirit, internal spirit, must be awoken to the point that you realize where you are, that you, what is your relationship to God. And it isn't just technology that's going to explain that. It'll make it easier to achieve that. But at some point in time, every human has to be aware that they have woken up and are smelling the roses, because that's what life is all about.
True. And Dennis, I just want to play with what you just smelling the roses. There's also the idea of smelling the coffee, and there's the idea of drinking the coffee. There's the point where one is aroused by these wondrous aromas, but then there comes a point where when are you going to ingest, in the case of the coffee, or to drink, in order that it becomes a part of you, a part of your consciousness, that not only that which was stimulating your nostrils, which was actually leading to the stimulation of your brain, but when you take in of this substance of consciousness, this spiritual cup of coffee, then when will it become the flesh of your flesh and the blood of your blood, which is a containment center for the soul? So, you know, the old saying, you are what you eat, or we are what we eat. Well, we are what we take in through our senses, and through our senses we can actually become privy to even having a greater wake-up call than we originally planned on if we took the opportunity to smell the roses, smell the coffee, drink the coffee, or eat the delicious meal, which was created for our purpose, again, our destiny to interact with these matters, to heighten our sensitivity and to connect into the wireless technology of the greatest wireless technology that I would humbly suggest is our human souls as it relates to our human intellect, which is also associated with our divine image. Dennis?
That's right, Don. What happens is when you wake up, you need to see what the relationship of you to your environment, and your environment includes the universe. And that's where we talk about heaven is located somewhere above the universe. We don't know exactly where it is, but what happens is we're trying to make people aware that everything isn't within your human eyesight, and that your human form only takes you so far. So that's why the concept of God is present, and people have to be made aware of that, because it goes way beyond what you physically can do.
True. So that brings us to a question, blessed souls, what is expected of us, this so-called seventh generation from the first generation? Again, the first generation, according to this Hasidic discourse, associated with a direct descendant of King David and Solomon, the Alter Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liade. Now, aside from us possessing this instruction from the Hasidic teachings, that we are a cherished generation, which we've talked about on previous programs, that we find ourselves as well in a time period, which has been identified by many of the sages of Israel, for the past 200 plus years, as known as the period of the heels of the Mashiach, the Messiah, also known from the Aramaic, Ikvata de Mashiach, meaning it is a period of time where sensitivities have been dulled. Consciousness has been dumbing down because of the severities of the past, going back to the 19th century or the 18th century, but when for the past previous 1,500 years, due to the destruction of the Second Temple and the dispersion of the exiles of Israel throughout the world, and due to as well as to the dispersion of the exiles of the nations of the world, due to the breakup and the sovereignty of native peoples from their native lands, there's been this great confusion which has sullied and dirtied and clogged up the human heart, which has clogged up the human mind, because we have to go back, Blessed, way, way back into history to understand, Blessed, there once were, in fact, borders set down, according to the oral Israel tradition of land and who would live in what land, based on what occurred after the flood. Let's remember, Blessed, that Noah was not just a righteous man, because he's called that in the Torah, if you go back to the book of Genesis. He was also a prophet who talked directly to God, and under the divine inspiration provided him, the prophetic insight, he actually was instructed how to divide up all the lands to the peoples of the world, all those people being his direct descendants, meaning all the offspring of his three sons who went into the ark with him, meaning all the children of Ham, all the children of Japheth, and all the children of Shem. All the lands were set up that there should have been no need for going into another territory to conquer it, no need for war, no need for creating all these types of evil ideologies of demonizing another people to put them on the level of subhuman, as we see what's going on right now in the world crisis. It took place 70-plus years ago with World War II. It took place 400 years ago with the Native American Indian. It took place 400 years ago with the slavery of the African. It took place in the native lands in Africa. It took place in the Middle East. It took place in Europe. It took place all over the world, and comes along in the descendant of King David, namely the Alter Rebbe, saying that we are on the heels of the Mashiach, the Ikvas the Mashiach. What does that mean? That compared to the rest of the body, the spiritual sensitivity, even the physical sensitivity of the human heel is not as refined and say like the sensitivity of the digestive system, the heart, and the lung system, the respiratory system, and of course the cognitive system, which is the brain and the five senses which surround our face and to the side of our face with our ears. And with that being said, the human heel has this virtue that, for instance, if you create a bath for yourself and the water is warm, and it might even be between warm and very hot, you don't stick your face right into that hot water. You stick your foot in your heel, and there you get basically a barometer, a thermometer reading for your human body using your heel. And when it feels as if the water is comfortable enough to your heel, then the rest of your body is ready to emerge into that water to be cleansed and refreshed. So too, we're at a time where we, in this generation called the Vichas the Mashiach, the heels of the Mashiach, the Messiah, because not only Jewish people, but also Christians and Islamic people are talking about this is a time of redemption despite the calamities that are facing that human family experience. And yet, with that being said, how do we start to test the waters of redemption? Well, one way is, Buster Sullivan, we'll turn to Dennis for some feedback, is to reduce our hatred within ourselves, our jealousy within ourselves of others, and not needing to compete with others, rather to see how can we compete against our former selves, meaning how we conduct ourselves yesterday, and how can we be even better today to compete against our prior achievements in our thoughts, speech, and actions to see how we can be better people rather than to see how can I out-better the next guy. Dennis, again, I've been off a lot, but I know you can chew it, digest it, and give your own insightful viewpoints.
Well, we started off with the awakening of the human spirit, so we understand the environment, our relationship to God. However, as you mentioned, over a period of time, we humans tend to become very complacent. If nothing bothers us, we say, well, don't make a wave. I want to keep on doing what I'm doing. I'd rather not change. Change can be ugly. It can irritate me. It can give me great discomfort. Let's just keep on doing what we're doing. Unfortunately, we need regeneration. We need a renewal. We need to have new energy to wake us up to our original goals that were started way back in history. Why? Because we can't forget this. Nothing has changed when it comes to principles between you and God. God is a constant. Humans are variables. We must, from time to time, wake up the humans again so they realize that either we start all over or change our ways. Sometimes it's easy to start all over because it takes too long to change our ways. But faith in God will help us and prevail.
So, thank you, Dennis. And I just want to mention that, well, a person might say, well, why should I seek to make that change? And what does it have to do with bringing down the divine presence of Shekhinah? Well, it has a lot to do with the blessed souls, because when we think we're on solid ground, or think we're standing on solid ice, you know, I just heard this morning before the show a program that was being produced and hosted by a Native American Indian, and he was talking about how up north of the North American border into the Canadian area and I guess in the Alaska region, he was talking about he knows about there's actually an ice culture. What is an ice culture? Those people who depend on their fishing as a means of sustaining themselves and they have to go out onto the ice and cut holes in the ice and extract fish, which are underneath the surface ice. And he mentioned how he's lost a friend who actually fell through the ice because the ice is melting more than they had the native peoples up there had calculated, and that particular person in this particular scenario lost their life. And of course, we know the earth shifts. We know that there have been horrible natural disasters in the past several years, the tsunamis, the floodings in New Orleans. We had Hurricane Sandy on the eastern seaboard, especially in Brooklyn and Far Rockaways. So while we could say, why should we make change? We see the earth in itself is in a process of change. We can learn from nature, not just Mother Nature, but the Creator who created this nature that we associate with Mother Nature. It is going through a constant process of change, and then we just merely need to look at the weather patterns. Every day there are changes in the weather. There's no day that has an exact same temperature at every moment, which corresponds to the day before, the day after. Everything in this creation is constantly going through change and ascension and sometimes dissension. Sometimes it levels out. So how can we encourage people that there's nothing radical about making changes? Because the creation is constantly changing. Dennis?
People should understand that we live in a changing world. And if you can't handle change, you're going to be left behind, or you're going to feel left out or isolated. Change is going to happen whether you want it or not. The one thing that is constant is God. And our faith and belief have a place here that you can rely on because it's constant, and you must keep renewing it and using it. It's the old expression, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Well, that's possible, because if you're not aware what you should be doing as the world is changing about you, you could get distracted and lost.
True. That being said, when we start to meditate about the idea that we're in a period called the heels of the Messiah, Ikhvas HaMashiach, and that we move towards this completion of this period of human family experience, which some would say this is a period, and I also believe that we are in a period of preparing ourselves, and we are just moments away before the universal redemption is actualized, is to understand that we have the option, if we wish to participate, to engage in a divine service of eliciting or completing an elicitation of a very high quality of Shekhinah, of divine presence, within this blessed world, which is in fact the lowest of all created realms, which is a matter of discussion unto itself. So our goal, as identified by the Lubavitch Rebbe back from this Hasidic discourse in 1951, is to permeate this lowest of all worlds with the Ikar Shekhinah, the essence of the divine presence. However, how we go about it is, of course, as well part and parcel of the human discussion, which sometimes evolves into human solutions and sometimes devolves into human argumentation. But the point is, if we go back to the book of Genesis, we realize if this is the abode, if we simply believe with a simple faith that this is the abode that Creator created, and in the beginning it was a Garden of Eden, a place where godliness was openly revealed. But since that time, from the beginning of those pristine conditions, we learned very quickly that there was an initial deviation, unfortunately, committed by original man and woman, who I would not advise anyone to judge, meaning Adam and Eve, because they were prophetic people as well, and certainly they were the highest level of human being that we know of, as I understand, because Adam was actually crafted and formed directly by the Creator and woman as coming from the side of man. And all of us since then have been born to man and woman. So man, original man and woman did not have a father and mother in the sense that all of us who are human beings today have mothers and fathers, whether they be in the world of truth, above this level of existence, this blessed life experience. Nevertheless, we are empowered by an ancient seventh generation led by Moses, who was the seventh generation in relation to the first generation which is the generation of Abraham, which we talked about, Abraham, who we talked about, was a vehicle for doing kindness. And not only that, following the seventh generation of Moses, Moshe, there was another future generation, the generation of King Solomon, the son of King David, who directed the construction of the first Holy Temple, where at that particular time, there was an essential revelation of godliness transpired, which in and of itself was empowered by a Torah scriptural verse, which was mentioned before King Solomon ascended the throne, was actually written down by Moses, told by the Creator to write this down. The quote, "They shall make for me a sanctuary that I will dwell among them." Now, blessed soul, this is not just talking about a physical temple, although there were two physical temples, and we look forward to the the third temple, hopefully to manifest in our days, only under the aegis and the guidance and the prophetic insight of the Mashiach, the Messiah. We're not going to hold by any other proposals to build a temple by anyone who would claim that we have a commandment to build a temple even though the Messiah has not arrived, because that might lead to a lot of world conflict, and we all can recognize there's enough world conflict already in the world. We don't need more. We don't need to put more fuel on this fire of war, which is the opposite of the instruction of Torah, to make war for over ideology in this way we're seeing being fought over in the Middle East and in Africa and in America and the Canadians, Canada, and South and Central and, you know, America and then in Australia and all over the place, if I've lived in Asia. So that being said, listeners, we have a Torah instruction. They should make for me a sanctuary and I will dwell within. Now, again, we might not all agree on how do we make that sanctuary for the Creator, but first we have to hopefully come to the joyous recognition that what about the sanctuary within our own human existence, even before we talk about that bigger structure in the holy city of Jerusalem. And if we work on developing our own personal sanctuary and understand that it behooves us to make the changes we have to make it a better, more sustainable world, we might just find, lo and behold, guess what? The world is actually becoming more aware of godliness on a person-by-person basis. Not just one person is pontificating upon the wonderful realms of godliness, which we've certainly had throughout human history, many elevated and highly conscious human beings in the forms of prophets, mystics, and wise men, and scientists, and whatever. But by down-to-earth people like you and I, blessed souls, and like Dennis, and Ron Williams, and Doris, and Rabbi Goldstock, and Shoshana Imhoff Moss, we did a wonderful interview with her yesterday on Soul Class about her finding out that, in fact, she was born to Jewish parents after many years, her family holding back their heritage from her, and the euphoria and the sense of personal actualization which hit her when she realized that this is her role. And by the way, this should be experienced by any person who comes into God's teachings, godly teachings, realize, oh, this is who I'm supposed to be? No one told me? Well, guess what? I want to learn out who I'm supposed to be. And by that, you are starting to walk on the path, blessed souls, of participating in the elicitation of Shekhinah, of divine presence, to make it readily evident to the whole world. And again, you have to start with yourself to realize there is godliness in the world by seeking the godliness within yourself and then sharing it with another person. And we're trying to do that right through our own humble efforts here on Soul Talk Radio. Dennis, I'll leave you with the last word before I make my concluding statement and leaving with our, of course, flagship ending music of Brother David Dom.
Love your neighbor. Your neighbor will love you. God will love both of you.
Thank you, Dennis, for taking some of your valuable time. And bless us, this might be the last program we do before Rosh Hashanah, because a week from today we'll be entering into the new year according to the Hebrew lunar calendar. And I want you to know, bless us, it is not just a Jewish holiday according to our tradition. In fact, even according to our prayer liturgy, we of the Jewish Israelite Hebrew nation, we talk about how the Creator is blessing the whole world. We want the Creator to be the king of the whole world, and all the world stands trembling before him for good decrees, for not just the nation of Israel, that there should be good foliage, there should be good produce in the fields, there should be plenty of of livestock. There should be plenty of health. There should be plenty of healings. We want the creation to get rectified. And if we pray for it, should we be surprised if we get it? Not because we are so righteous, you know. If a person is so righteous, more like not, blessed souls, they're not going to boast their righteousness, but rather they will talk about their merit to be connected to the eternal good of the Creator. And as we humbly want to remind everyone, we believe that's coming through pristinely through the teachings of Torah and all the oral and written Torah traditions. And that being said, blessed souls, I want to wish everyone to be written and sealed in for the sweetest and happiest year corresponding to the Hebrew numerical year of 5,775 years since our original parents, our common parents, Adam and Eve, were born into this, or formated and revealed into this creation. And should be in a way, hopefully in this coming year, 5,775 years blazing and grazing creation should be celebrated by the entire human family experience, by all of us, eradicating hatred within ourselves and for others, eradicating jealousy within ourselves and for others, eradicating unnecessary competition against others, and just seek to be better people on a day-to-day, even in the most mundane aspects of our lives. And hopefully we'll transpire in a way of Ahava Chad, one love, Goyal Chad, one destiny, Kolano for all of us, Bardarchi Shalom, in a peace way, Bardarchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Laham Sheikh, to be continued, Bez Hashem Yisbreak, to be continued with the with the help of the Most High, just remember, blessed souls, you've got to be good, and you are good because the Tevatov the Hetev, it's the nature of the good to do good, and the Creator is the source of good, put you on this earth. So it's just a matter of accessing within yourself that little spark of divine presence, that little aspect of your divine image. And we'd like to thank you, Hashem, for everything. And in David Dom's song today, thank you for the stars as well. Take care.
Thank you for time.